Depend on it.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to 10 o'clock hour. 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. It's 49 degrees on Peachtree. It's headed to the high 60s, may even get to low 70s. And a 0% chance of rain on a sunny, beautiful day in Georgia. I just can't wait. I need to find an article. I should just Google this. I'm sure there's one out there. When does the yellow pollen truly go away? I know it changes every year, depending on when it gets warm quickly. But I feel like we're already getting to the end of that. The pollen yesterday was just falling. We need one more mega rainstorm, I guess, to come through and wipe out all the yellow pollen that covers everything. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Oh, by the way, our weather brought to you by that beautiful day, sunny, 0% chance of rain, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Now, here we are. We've got this just a roller coaster week. It's really a roller coaster year so far. But Yellen this week on Tuesday says the Fed's basically going to be very cautious with interest rate hikes. Stocks liked that. So a rough 2016 start, then now we see all the major indices just a few percentage points below their all-time highs. This year, we were in free fall with oil, free fall with stock prices. And that lasted for a six-week pounding week after week after week. And then oil bottomed and went from 26 back to almost 40 until this week when it was down another 7%. And stocks basically, they tug along for the ride. And we have, now we went from this very real correction and the worry of a bear market to now we're back to where we started the year and actually a little bit higher. So year to date, Dow Jones up 2.1%, S&P 500 up 1.4% on the year. It goes to the testament of understanding, hey, are we in a recession or not? We weren't in a recession. So if you probably stayed the course and staying the course this particular time happened to be the right investment move to do. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Your calls and questions, we're here live in the studio on this Sunday morning in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk yield at cost when it comes to dividend investing. One of the most underappreciated concepts that you have to understand and know as an investor. Yield at original cost. I'm going to give you a couple examples. We already gave you one earlier with Lockheed Martin. I'll touch on that again. I want to give you a Home Depot example. I want to give you the S&P 500 yield at cost example, what that really means to you, what it means for your 401k. I mean, how does it really compound inside an investment account to make you money over time? That's what this is really all about. We're here to help. We're here to figure out your questions and your calls. If let's say you have a question, and this is what you can call me in the studio with. Phone lines open. Pension lump sum versus no sum, college, annuity, mutual fund, ETF. Maybe it's just a life event. We had a great call in the 9 o'clock hour about some of the parameters in my book. You can retire sooner than you think. There are five critical, think of them as checkpoints you got to get to. Everybody, if you get to the five, most of them are they're really all common sense. They're all easier said than done. So, hence, otherwise everybody would be rich in America. It's easier said than done, and to do these fundamentally correct or common sense financial planning keys, but you've got to have them as a goal in order to get there for most people. They don't just happen. You know, being financially independent just doesn't manifest or luckily happen overnight. It just doesn't happen. You've got to plan for it. And the planning part's not difficult. Most people don't want to do it, but it's not a hard thing to do. It's getting there. It takes time. So if you have a question about a life event, you want to just take another look at a financial direction you're about to go in, we can talk about that. Maybe you have a question about how much you're paying for financial advice. You know, what's a fair amount? You can pay close to zero doing everything on your own. You can go pay a whole lot if you're at a big wirehouse company. And then there's everything in between. So are you paying too much? I don't know. Maybe it's a question about your 401k or an IRA or the TSP plan you have as a government employee or a 403b plan or a Roth. Well, we'll talk about that. How about just what to do with cash sitting there doing nothing? Cash that's in a, I looked at a money market this week. It was a 0.08% money market. I mean, 0.08%. You've got to have a lot of money to create almost no interest. It just doesn't, the math isn't there. How can you produce an income, let's say, from investing? We'll talk about the yield at cost and dividend investing without an annuity or without some product that says it's going to give you some sort of income stream for the rest of your life. These are the questions that you have right now. I know in your brain, they're swirling around. Maybe you and your wife have talked about it. Hey, honey, what should we be doing about this? Or, hey, where do we find good budget software? What's a good way to get back on track financially? Or, hey, we want to stop working like next year. Honey, what do we need to do that? Are we in a position to be able to really do that? Well, we're happy to talk that through here on Money Matters. And throughout the week, if you want to find me and the Money Matters team, you can just go to my website, wesmoss.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, which I have really focused in on over the last month plus to really tune up the content on Facebook. That I want it to be the very best stories that touch on finance in some way, life adventure that costs money, anything that costs money, college for your kids. How do you become a millionaire over time? Those seem to be popular articles that people love on our Facebook page. So it's just Wes. The Facebook page is Wes Moss Money Matters. In order to have that enter into your feed, all you do obviously is click on like, and if it's a good story, you might see it. With that, the number in the studio today, 404-872-0750. Again, live in the studio today, phone lines open, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan Ely standing by to take your calls and questions and patch them through. And with that, we go through this year of really a tumultuous year to some extent. 2016, we started out with recession, worried about that. And then you have oil, which seemed to go down every day and have no bottom. And yet it hasn't happened. So the recession hasn't happened yet. And really quite the contrary. I mean, we just added 215,000 new jobs in March. We just had the employment numbers come out on Friday. We're at a 5% unemployment rate. So all of these places that looked as though they were falling apart in the beginning of the year, the U.S. stock market, emerging markets. So if you look at emerging market companies, those indexes were down significantly. And that's now we finish the quarter, as we did this week, up 6% on emerging markets. So pretty remarkable, the turnaround that we've seen. Remember, how do you become a dividend investor? And we'll go to the phones in just a second here. Ryan Ely screaming at me, go to the phones. Remember, there's three components. It's pretty simple. If you have an overall portfolio, whether it's 100,000 or a million or it's 10 million, then you're going to want to create some sort of steady income when you stop working. And that income, pretty simply, comes from three places. One, dividends that we'll talk about. Dividends from stocks, interest from bonds, various kinds of bonds, and then distributions from areas that are not quite a stock or a bond, like a REIT or a closed-end fund or a preferred stock or an MLP, which are the pipeline and energy storage companies that pay out distributions. They're all three examples, dividends, interest, distributions, they're all cash flow. It's just cash flow. But they add up, if you have all three in a portfolio, they add up to a portfolio yield. And whether that's 3% or 3.5% or 4% or 4.5%, depending on how you balance those three, what the percentage is in each, and then the vehicles that you're using to generate those dividends, your yield will certainly fluctuate. But you've got to remember that you can have a growth stock that pays a zero dividend that might go up a lot, or a dividend-paying stock that might pay 4% but have a lot less growth potential. Got to have a marriage of all of those areas together, at least in my opinion, to have a solid overall income portfolio. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Sarah, who joins us from Cumming. Sarah, good morning. How can we help?
Good morning. Hey. Well, I recently went to a financial advisor. I'm 27 years old. I've currently paid off all my debt, and I just want to start planning for retirement. And he's trying to charge me $400 for like a 3-month course on how to figure out what to do. Like, ultimately, what I want to do is I want to know, with my the income that I have now, how do I save for the here and now, for like a safety fund, and then for retirement? Like, I have a certain goal. Like, by the time I'm 50, I want to retire with an X amount of dollars in the bank. And I just don't know even how to get started.
Well, okay, so a couple of thoughts here. So the first thought I would say, Sarah, is that I have this formula called TSL, Taxes Savings Life. And it's just you take your gross income and you multiply each your gross income by a certain percentage. So taxes, 30%. And when you're younger and your income's a little lower, it might be 20%. But let's just go with these round numbers.
Okay.
TSL, 30, 20, 50, meaning that taxes are going to take up 30% of your gross paycheck, savings 20% of your paycheck, and this is the hard part, you want to try to live on 50% of your gross paycheck. Now, those numbers might not quite work out today because you're still 27, you still haven't ramped up to your full income potential, but over the next 20 years, you want to try to average those numbers. So if you're saving 20%, Sarah, the first thing you want to do is just be that conservative block, which is just your emergency money if there's something that happens health-wise or job-wise. And that's simply a six-month spending number.
Okay.
During the financial crisis, that number started to go up because people were even more nervous about the world. And we talked about a 12-month reserve. So if you need $3,000 a month to live, 12 months is $36,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm telling you though is that today, let's do at least six. And then once that's done, Sarah, then you can start doing all these other areas like a Roth, a 401k. And we've got to go to a quick break, but I'm going to give you kind of that structure, the ladder of which areas to save in first. And I'll give you a couple other areas or tools to use to get your budget started. So hang on for me. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I don't know if we still have Sarah on the line here, but here I want to... Sarah, are you still on the line with us?
Yes.
This is real-time radio. And you're probably the youngest caller we've had in a long time. So you're already a genius. You're a young financial wizard. And you're already going to be rich because you're starting to do this early. That's 95% of the battle, Sarah. The rest of it is so easy. So this is easy. And you can find this stuff anywhere. But since I have it and I've spent a lot of time putting this all on my website, there are three things I'm going to give you that are all of them are totally free. When I say free, I don't mean like, oh, there's a catch or you got to do this. I mean, they literally are free. You could use them for like a decade. As long as the internet's around for a decade, which it will be. they're not going to cost you anything, okay? You don't need to pay $400 to tell somebody, for somebody to tell you need 6 months worth of cash savings, and then another $400 to tell you to invest in a super low cost portfolio of ETFs, okay? You can pay me $4 for my advice. Here's the deal. Go to my website. It's just wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. And on the right side, there's a picture of a Mac computer. And it's the tools page. There's three tools: retirement calculator, a Social Security optimizer, which you don't even need to worry about right now because you're too young to worry about Social Security. And then there's a net worth tracking and wealth growing tools at the bottom. There's three of them. You can use each one of them. Do the retirement calculator first. It's so far away from you, but at least give you a context of, hey, I think I need a million or a million and a half or whatever that number is when you're 60 or 50. I think your goal, you said 50. Mm-hmm. At least it gives you starts to put some context around how much I really got to save in the future, which you'll break it down per year. Well, I need to do X amount per year. The other thought is at the bottom that you go to our net worth tracking. That's our company, Wella. WELA, it's getwella.com, and it's free tracking that tracks your different bank accounts, investment accounts, and it works you towards a goal. And the technology over time, as we get more efficient, we'll be able to ping you, almost like an Apple Watch will tell you to stand up. Well, it will tell you when to save. And that's how you stay on track. So all of this, as a millennial, you're doing awesome. You're listening to Money Matters. More of this.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here on WSB Radio, sunny, 0% chance of rain today. High in the mid, upper 60s. Weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Good morning. You're tuned in to Money Matters, the number 404-872-0750. We just finished up with Sarah. She is a millennial, I guess, 27. And she's starting early. And there's just so many free tools to get started. It doesn't need to be complicated at all, but you do need to spend a little bit of time doing a retirement calculator. There's lots of them online. I've got a great tool section on my website, wesmoss.com. Then there's GetWella, G-E-T, Wella. Wella means wealth, old English word for wealth, by the way. All this stuff you can track, put your bank accounts together, and be able to see everything in one place. It's called account aggregation. And a couple years ago, I guess I wasn't comfortable with that. I don't want people to see my stuff online. I don't want people to hack in. And what I've realized is that if you look at the statistics on how many breaches there have been, and again, I'm a LifeLock member, by the way. I use LifeLock and I actually really like it. But really all LifeLock is vigilance. And vigilance meaning that you've got to just be aware of your accounts. And if something's going awry, you need to be able to see that that's happening so you can stop it. That's the way it is. You can't bury your head in the sand. And you can't just ignore all your accounts. We live in a digital world. It's really easy to track them now. So just have an aggregation platform, meaning you can see everything in one, so you don't check 10 different accounts, 10 different logins. Wella, get Wella, you just go there, you plug in your accounts, and it gets updated every day. The reason that I feel comfortable with it, and I think of it as a safe way to monitor your accounts, is that all Wella does and other aggregation software, they go in, take a snapshot of what your balance is at the end of the day, and then reports that back. So it's almost taking a picture and then reporting that picture back to you, as opposed to creating some open pipeline or conduit. It's not doing that. So there's not a open pipeline for people to get into these accounts. And that's what aggregation software does. And that's why you haven't heard of things like Mint.com. You haven't heard of real security breaches because of that. Because, again, there's not an open pipeline to your data. And that's what Wella does. And that's what makes me very comfortable to do that. Because the comfort, and then the next level of comfort is that I understand what my accounts look like. And if I see something out of whack in a given day, and it may take me a minute a day to check, if I see something out of whack, or I get an alert on LifeLock, then I know to go make sure that it's a real check. Hey, and I'll ask Lynn, hey, Lynn, did you spend money over at Annie's Thai Castle? I don't know what it might be, or at this restaurant, or whatever it might be, to make sure that that's something that we wanted to spend money on. And if not, then you go right to your provider and you get it fixed. So vigilance is the only way in the modern world we live in the digital world we live in, to really keep track and keep your finances safe. With that, let's go to the phones here. 404-872-0750. Linda joins us from Kennesaw. Hey, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help?
Good. I have a question. I have a millennial. I have a 19-year-old grandson, and he works, and he goes to college, and I would like to start, I'd like to fund his a Roth for him. He has no, I mean, I ask him how much I would match whatever he would put in, and he tells me he has zero left, which it makes me laugh, but I'd like to.
I love that you say, I have a millennial. It's almost like you're like, I have a goldfish, two cats, and a millennial.
Exactly.
I believe, Ryan, correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I actually think he's not a millennial. I think if you're that young, Linda, I think that generation is actually called a digital native. Like, I don't even think, I think that's even too young to be a millennial. But anyway, I see where you're headed here. You're trying to help a young person figure out finances, the fundamentals early on, so that they have some financial freedom. Now, he doesn't have anything left, but here's the catch. Does he have any earned income? Is he working?
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah.
So if he makes, so the Roth contribution limit is $5,000, right? So
right.
Now the question is how much up to that is he able to earn and then contribute? How much do you think he earns?
He earned a little over, I think he earned about $3,500.
Okay.
And I thought of starting a Roth. I would fund it this year. I'd start him out with $1,000, and so he can watch it. You know, I mean, if I start talking finances and compounding, his mind drifts everywhere else but what we're talking about.
Okay. So again, so if you're the max you can do in a Roth is $5,500. That's the maximum you can do. If you're 50 or older, you can do $6,500. Those are the numbers. But he needs to, he would have to earn at least $5,500 in order to contribute $5,500. So if he only earns $3,500, that's his max. And then obviously he's not going to save every penny of it. So let's say give him a goal of $1,000. Say, hey, let's do $1,000. I'll match $1,000. Or if you're even more generous, I'll say 2-for-1 match. Because remember, the most he can put in to begin with is really the $3,500, right?
Right.
So that if he puts in his own $1,000, you say, hey, here's another $2,000. He gets to $3,000. He's still within his earning limit. And everybody wins that way. Where he needs to go would be directly at Vanguard. He could just open up an IRA and look for an easy place to start. The Vanguard 500. This is the S&P 500 fund. That's a great way to start when you're 19. The Dividend Appreciation Fund is another good fund for long term that you can use, and that's what he can own and just keep contributing to. And it's extremely low cost way to do it.
Okay. In fact, Vanguard recommended a target retirement fund. Now, I don't have one of those. They recommended V as in Victor, TTSX.
No, for somebody that young, you don't need to do a target fund.
That's what I thought.
No,
okay.
I don't think
then,
so.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, my thought is that for the next 15, 20 years, he should be a stock investor, an equity-based investor. He doesn't need a target fund to rebalance him slowly towards bonds at this young age. Even though if it's a really early target fund, there are probably no bonds in it now anyway. But I think he's better off just picking two or three, really one to get started. One stock fund, one equity-based mutual fund at Vanguard, S&P 500, the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation. Those are good places to start. Then add in the Vanguard International, Total International Index, the emerging market fund that they have. And do it that way. That way he gets a sense of what these different indexes or indices will do relative to the global economy over time. A target date fund, if you start there, it's a little bit of a black box. You don't really understand what pieces are doing well because everything's underneath this big veil. I think it's way better at a young age to own some of these individual indexes so you start learning about what different areas of the world are doing.
Okay, great advice. Thank you.
All right, Linda. Hey, listen, have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you. It's time for McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. Ryan, what do we got?
The WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of tickets to the Bud Light Concert Series featuring Styx on May 15th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation, and four passes to see Eye in the Sky, courtesy of the Regal Entertainment Group. This week's trivia question... You have Apple, Google, and Microsoft are the three biggest technology companies in the world, and a not-too-distant fourth place is what company? What is the fourth largest technology company in the world by market cap?
Oh, you're saying tech, you're not saying fourth largest, period.
Yep. Yeah, not fourth largest, period. The fourth largest technology company. Apple, Google, and Microsoft are also the three biggest, period. Mm. But the fourth biggest technology company is what name?
Prize line 404-741-0750. Again, prize line, trivia line 404-741-0750. 7.50. So we need to get back to yield at cost. As we talk about dividends, we talk about the growth of stock dividends over time. This is the concept that I want to continue to remind folks about because it's so important. So it's not just your current dividend yield. It's what your dividend yield is today relative to what you paid back when you first bought the stock if you're a long-term investor. So it's easy to know what your cash flow and your dividend is, but now I want you to look at this relative to what you originally paid for your shares. So let me give you a couple of examples here. And this is what I refer to here on Money Matters as yield at cost or yield at original cost. As an example, Lockheed Martin today pays $6.60 a share. Divided by what you have to pay for it today, it's $223. That you have to divide to get your current yield. If you were to buy it today, $6.60 divided by 223, that's the price, equals 2.96%. So call it 3% if I buy that company today. 10 years ago, Lockheed Martin was $71 a share. So if I bought it back then and held it, I still hold it, I now take my current dividend that has ratcheted up over the years. So back then, 10 years ago, it was paid $1.30 per year. Now it pays $6.60 per year. So I take now my $6.60 divided by my original cost, $71. Now you do that math, you are getting a 9.660 divided by 71. You're getting a 9.3% yield. So almost 10% yield on what you originally paid for that company. Now, again, that didn't happen overnight. That's a lot. 10 years, a long time. So this isn't some magical get rich quick thing. This is really long-term investing. If you did this all the way back to 2000, January 2000, Lockheed Martin was $25 a share. 660 divided by 25 is a 26% yield at cost. Home Depot, same example. $32 if you go back over the last 10 years. So this is a better example. This is a great example that this is a company that had a huge dip and then came back pretty significantly, right? So I'm going to look at it. If you look at you pull up a chart of Home Depot. Back in 2006, it was paying 15 cents a quarter times four. It's about 60 cents a share back when it was $35 range, right? Today, Home Depot is $134, right, today in price, but I want to look back at my original $35. It was paying 2% back then. Today, by the way, if you buy it, still paying about 2% because the dividend has gone up and up and up. It went from 60 cents a year back in 06 to $2.76 a share. So I take my today's dividend, $2.76, divided by yesterday's price, meaning back when I bought it in 06. That gives you a yield at cost of almost 8%, 7.9%. So in a low yield world, remember the power of dividend growth. Straight ahead, more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss with the money and investing advice you need.
Tracy from Flowery Branch wins the prize back. The answer, fourth biggest technology company. I had guessed Amazon. It's actually Facebook. Ryan Ely, I like that question. That's a good one. Speaking of Facebook, we spend a lot of time curating what we think are the very best articles throughout the web that touch on money and lifestyle, adventure, how to become a better investor, how to become a millionaire from 25 to age 50, how to be a better person, what successful people do on the weekend. I'm thinking these are all my favorite articles that we do spend a lot of time finding. And we only want to post what we think is really interesting, something really interesting. And that's on Wes Moss Money Matters. So if you go to the web, if you're on Facebook, which you and 1.4 billion people are, go to Wes Moss Money Matters. You like the page and then you'll see only the stories that pertain to you that are popular in our feed, because that's the only thing that'll show up in your feed. So that's an exciting development, in my opinion, over the last couple months, is we've really focused in on making sure our content is great when it comes to Facebook. With that, remember yield at cost. We talked about two examples today, Lockheed Martin, Home Depot. They might only yield 3% and 2% today, but if you bought these 10 years ago or 15 years ago, your yield at original cost looks more like 9%, or in the case of Lockheed Martin 10 years ago, or Home Depot, almost 8%. If you go back to what you would have paid back in 2006. Go Heels, go Heels. You hear that in the background? That's for tomorrow night. So the Tar Heels of North Carolina versus Villanova in the NCAA final national championship, which is a very big deal and very exciting. Maybe finally my kids will actually like my school. For all these years, there's been this Kentucky underpinning in my house because my wife went to Kentucky, and they've been so good that my kids have been brainwashed to like the Kentucky Wildcats. At least this year, I've got a shot for my kids to actually love the school that they really should love, and that's North Carolina. Have a great rest of this beautiful Sunday. Find me at westmoss.com if you'd like to continue the conversation. And stay tuned for more right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.